Welcome to the Tarot Coven Cast. Real people, real talk, real magic. Hello there, lovely listeners, and welcome to the Tarot Coven Cast. I'm one of your hosts, Jasmine.
And I'm Jekanovia.
And on this bonus episode, I'll be exploring the zodiac sign Virgo, while Jekanovia shares the magic of the Celtic tree sign Hazel. Let's dive right into Virgo. Let's
do it. Tell me.
So, the approximate dates for Virgo season is typically August 23rd to September 22nd, although in 2021, it will be from August 22nd until September 22nd, which I feel like has been kind of a theme, at least for the last three or so signs. We're seeing the dates start a little bit earlier than usual. So, I don't know, procession of the equinoxes or something, but.
Oh, maybe. I just like all the double numbers.
Yeah, it's same. There's been so many 22s, and you know 22 is my number, so I've been loving it. So, Virgo's polarity, it's a feminine sign, a yin sign, it's receptive. It is the expression sort of like inhale. It's a nighttime sign. And this polarity is typically more introverted, magnetic, instinctive, and intuitive. The element is earth. So earth is very dry and cold. And this sort of manifests as things like practical, reliable, grounded, enduring. Earth signs can really be motivated by security and stability. We think about the pentacles suit in the tarot, you know, like the long-term planning, the long-term goals, the grounding that we can find within that suit, and then kind of the focus on the more material and the more tangible within life. And I think often with earth signs, we hear about, you know, finances or financial rewards and stuff like that. And I think this can be appealing for earth signs, but not just because of like money, 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 but because it helps with that feeling of long-term stability and security. It helps to create those foundations that do make sense for earth signs.
Every earth sign that I know is really generous. And I just think like having that extra abundance coming in just means they can share more.
Which totally makes me think about the King of Pentacles, who I always see as like, yes, it does mean that you have worked really hard and you've come to a certain sort of peak or pinnacle in your life, maybe with finances, but it's also a time when you are able to give back in that way because you have so much, you're sharing in that wealth, right?
Yeah.
And then speaking of the court card pentacles, I also wanted to specifically highlight the Queen of Pentacles when it comes to Virgo. I think a lot of people might think about Taurus, but for me, because Virgo is so in touch with the physical body, and that's how I really connect with the Queen of Pentacles. So I thought that was maybe another good little touchstone there from the tarot. So let's move on to the modality. And Virgo is a mutable sign. And here in the Northern Hemisphere, it is the transition sort of between summer and fall. So it's a cooling down. And as I just spoke about with the earth element, earth is very cold and dry. So things are starting to come down. You know, we had that in Leo season, we have the heat rising, right? But as Virgo comes in, it's sort of taking that air and pulling it in and down. And mutable signs are very adjustable, adaptable, flexible, and they're what's known as double-bodied. So they kind of represent duality or a multiplicity of things in a way. And mutable signs can get bored kind of easily. They're very attracted to change and variety. They can also get very easily distracted, though, so sometimes we have trouble staying put or seeing things through when we're dealing with a lot of mutable energy. But that just means that new experiences are going to feed the soul, so it's also a really great time to try something new or take something in a different direction. So when we combine the earth element with the mutable modality, we can think about something like the wheat, which has to be separated and processed before it's edible. And wheat is often a symbol that we see associated with Virgo, which does, again, come from a Northern Hemisphere foundation because actually, Jekanovia, you could probably weigh in on this. I don't know if it's the same now, but I know that as far as when astrology was being created, Virgo season was really the time for a wheat harvest, or at least the beginning of a wheat harvest. Is that still true today?
Kind of. It depends on the wheat. I know like the harvest starts around like mid to late August, because that's when you have your Lunasa and stuff. But mm-hmm. I mean, all the harvests just kind of go throughout.
Right.
So it would depend on what kind.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah. Basically, that's where that symbolism comes from. It's kind of rooted in that very old tradition.
I love it.
So then we also can get things, again, when we're combining the earth element, the mutable modality, we can think about things like the digestive system, the editor, quality control, the renovation. So Virgo's really great at adapting structures, improving structures, and increasing the efficiencies of structures. We can also think about the fact checker, the critic, and back to the pentacles. That Eight of Pentacles card is like perfecting the craft. It can be tedious, but it's totally worthwhile. And the Eight of Pentacles is actually, in the traditional correspondences, it is the sun in Virgo specifically. So if you're ever thinking about maybe a friend that has their sun sign in Virgo, like that repetitive sort of tedious work that they do to build that skill, to build that craft, that's so much Virgo energy for sure. So just taking it right back to Chris.
I love Chris.
So Virgo's planetary ruler is Mercury, which is the planet of communication, learning, facts, and data, among so many other things. Mercury is really the sun's spokesperson, and it's quite multifaceted and varied in its delineations. I spoke about this in the Gemini episode, but Mercury is able to travel to parts of the sky that no other planet can really reach. So it just has this ability to be that multifaceted and sort of that varied within what it's able to do. But with Virgo, this is the more yin or sort of introverted expression of Mercury. So, you know, where Gemini, we're learning all the things and doing all of the things, Virgo helps us to sort of weed things down and like contract the ideas into exactly what is useful. And that sort of helps to mitigate the flightiness that we can sometimes see with the Gemini and Mercury combination. There's a steadiness and more of a focus. And I think that's because it's an earth sign as well, right? So it's finding that grounding. You know, Gemini says all the things, uses all the words, but Virgo really reduces and pares it down until all that's left is what's needed.
Right. Takes it back to the bare bones, bare essentials.
Right. And that's why, and I think I'll get into this in a minute, but that's also why I compare it to, and why many people compare it to, the digestive system, because it's taking in all of this stuff, deciding what's needed, and getting rid of what
doesn't. It's like Marie Kondoing that shit.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And I think I was reading a book actually where in the Virgo section, there was a nod to Marie Kondo, where it was like, Virgo's not about getting rid of everything. Like, you're still keeping that which brings you joy, but it is almost exactly that system where it's like, if it's not bringing you joy anymore, if it's not needed, get rid of it. Yeah.
Yeah. I get it.
Okay. So planetary dignities and debilities. We're about to double down, because this is also where Mercury finds its exaltation. So this is Virgo's home sign, and it's also its exaltation. It's really, really cool. The earth element of Virgo really helps to temper Mercury so it can kind of settle into the work and be a bit more methodical. So basically, Mercury can just do all of its mercurial things super easy and even more steadily and focused than it can in Gemini because of that extra exaltation.
Oh, okay.
So then this is also where Venus is in fall or depression. So when we think about the planet Venus, it's a very harmonizing planet. It likes to bring things together. And Virgo wants to break down and examine, right? So Venus kind of finds it difficult to enjoy pleasure and joy just kind of for the sake of it. Beauty takes a little bit of a backseat to practicality. I love to explain Venus in Virgo as a dress with pockets. it may not be the nicest dress. And of course, that's really subjective, but
yeah,
there's a utilitarian use to the dress, you know?
And that in itself is beautiful.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Again, it's so subjective, right? So
yeah.
Okay, and this is also where Jupiter is in detriment or exile. So Jupiter really isn't a detail-oriented planet. We talked about it, I believe. No, we haven't really talked about Jupiter yet, except for maybe in its exaltation in Cancer. But anyway, Jupiter is not detail-oriented. It really prefers the bigger picture and sort of the larger, more philosophical truths behind things. So I think it can be difficult to discern how much information is enough. Jupiter's optimism can be a little quieted here because of the critical eye of Virgo, but it might also magnify the flaws that are already seen so keenly by that Virgo energy. So, you know, Jupiter's this great benefic planet that brings, you know, all the things and says yes, but like under that critical eye, that can be a lot. That can be very overwhelming. So,
right.
Okay. And again, just on a more basic level, I mean, we know that this is where Mercury finds its home and its exaltation. So Mercury being about facts, data, the smaller components, the opposite of that, in a way, is Jupiter looking for those bigger truths, as I was saying. Yeah.
Oh, see, but and to me, like if you meet in the middle there, that's the perfect balance. You're only keeping what you need with the bigger picture in mind. You know, you're not getting rid of too much, but you're not also hoarding everything. I like the way that balances.
Yeah. And I think that I'll get into it here, but I think that one of the things that Virgo can kind of fall back on is just perfectionism in a way and seeing those flaws so easily. And so when we do have that Jupiter energy coming through Virgo, it's like, you know, as I said, just kind of magnifying that and making it harder to wrap things up when they're ready to be wrapped up or look away when it's ready to look away. And yeah.
That's just really cool. I don't know why that whole thing just was really cool to me to listen to you talk
about. I love looking at where planets are their best in the signs. I find that so fascinating. And it all really connects and makes so much sense. And
it does.
Just fascinating how this practice was built. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
So some keywords and themes for Virgo. Its little sort of mantra would be I analyze. And one of the other symbols that we often see with Virgo is the Virgin. And I really had to do some research into this because I've always known that that was the symbol, but it's always struck me as so strange. Like, I really didn't understand why that is the symbol. But what I found, I mean, basically the best piece of evidence that I found is that I guess, you know, back in the day, a virgin really meant someone who just belonged to themselves. It didn't have anything to do with sexuality or anything like that. It was really just that I stand on my own two feet and I'm autonomous. And to me, that makes way more sense than anything that I had been thinking with a more modern connotation of the word virgin.
Yeah. In my history research and stuff, virgin usually just meant somebody who hadn't had children, had nothing to do with sex. It just meant she hadn't had a child.
Right. And I guess I could see how that would become, like, down the line in a game of broken telephone, somebody who had never had sex, right?
Exactly.
But, yeah.
And then you get somebody who wants to overpower women, and they're going to use that. And
yes. Yeah. Then we get the building of the patriarchy and all that nonsense.
Exactly.
And totally. But I loved this idea of, just somebody who really belongs to themselves, because I have seen this in Virgo people who have a lot of Virgo placements or just a Virgo sun or whatever, that sometimes they kind of, it strikes me as so Scorpio, they'll, you know, go off on their own for a while and you don't really hear from them. And so you think that they're really aloof, but they're really just very internally occupied. Like they're very just focused on themselves and it has nothing to do with really anybody else, but they just have that strong sense of like, this is what I need to do and I'm going to go and do it.
Yeah.
So I loved finding out that bit of information.
I love it.
Yeah. Okay, so back to some themes. The need to analyze, discriminate, and when I say discriminate, I mean in terms of getting to the core of what's really needed and shedding the rest. So some other words in there would be like differentiate, distinguish, and discern. When I say discriminate, I'm not meaning like being mean to people because of any sort of superficial reason or anything. So yeah, so the need to analyze, discriminate, and function efficiently. Pruning, editing, organizing, categorizing, assimilating, and refining. there's this idea with Virgo energy of clarity versus criticism, which I think we kind of touched on with the Jupiter and Mercury kind of thing. But understanding the mechanics and the finer details is one thing. But I think this can really lead to perfectionism when the energy doesn't know when to stop clarifying and whittling down.
Right, right.
It's like when you're trying to cut a circle out of paper and you just keep doing those edges, but then you end up, but then you just end up with like a tiny slit of paper and no circle at all. Yes.
Yep. Or, you know, trying to trim your bangs.
Yep.
Same thing.
Dangerous stuff. And I think this also sort of speaks to a kind of analysis paralysis that the Virgo energy can sometimes experience, you know, when we get overly focused on details and lose sight of the bigger picture. Again, Virgo energy can just so easily see the flaws in something, which is super helpful when you need to be able to fix problems. But when you're just kind of hyper-focused and you can't get out of that, we just get stuck in that cycle.
Yeah.
But Virgo energy also has the ability to assimilate and digest what you've taken in and dealing with what needs to be broken down. So again, back to the digestive system. It's great at breaking down many components into smaller and more manageable parts. It's very detail-oriented and systematic. Loves to be in service. Virgo people I know are like, let's fix the problem. Let's get the to-do list done. And they're also very supportive of others in doing those same tasks.
Yeah.
And just from personal experience, I have to say Virgos are great gift givers just because they are so thoughtful. I think maybe Mercury comes into play here. They have a great memory for that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But not only that, like, I think they can just see something about somebody and break it down and be like, that would be a great gift. And I think it's things that you would never get for yourself. Like, they're thoughtful in that way. I don't know. One of my best friends is Virgo. My stepfather is Virgo. I always get fantastic gifts. So,
right.
Yeah. Probably listeners, let me know, because that might just be a totally personal anecdote, but.
I don't know, because I don't know many Virgos, but I mean, one of my kids is a Virgo, and they will remember everything. Like, Christmas comes and you get a present that you mentioned you might like back in like April.
Yes.
Like.
It's fascinating to me. I love it.
Yeah.
So Virgo really wants a diversity of skills, but kind of also wants to be perfect at each craft that they take on or that the energy takes on. So, but it's great at taking this sort of endless knowledge and turning it into something tangible, practical, and applicable. The energy can get a little micromanagey sometimes. Again, they just see those flaws. They see the inner systems of how things are working, and their mind is moving, I think, faster maybe than other people. So,
right.
Probably comes from a good place, the energy is very good at taking things apart to see how it works and to see each function really close up. And I think probably, you know, maybe to figure out how to make it all work better together in the end. Again, that like improving the structure, increasing the efficiency of the structure. I really have to think about, you know, one of my Virgo friends, she actually works with Tyler and she works on espresso machines or things like this, and they're always taking things apart and putting it back together, and they get to see the inside of how things work, and then they know the function really up close. And to me, that's so Virgo.
Yeah, that's a gift.
Yeah. There's definitely some high standards when it comes to Virgo energy. Again, I think it all just really leads back to the ability to see those things, the ability to understand those things on that level, and so they have higher standards. Yeah. And listen, Beyonce is a Virgo sun. And when we look at Beyonce, I mean, she does everything to 100%. She keeps perfecting. She's a super hard worker. I love thinking about her as being a Virgo, because I think for a long time I thought Virgo was one of the most boring signs, but I actually, it's one of my favorite now. And I think Beyonce helped me with that, because I was like, oh, damn. Like, that's the kind of thing that you can become. Light. That's how you can build and like perfect the craft, get better, perfect yourself, you know? Yeah. Like, yeah.
That's a whole lot of you do not miss an opportunity because you are ready.
Exactly. Okay, so the tarot associations with Virgo. Of course, we have the Hermit, which associates with Virgo itself. Then we've got the Magician, which connects with Mercury. As I mentioned earlier, the Eight of Pentacles connects with the Sun in Virgo. The Nine of Pentacles is Venus in Virgo, and the Ten of Pentacles is Mercury in Virgo. So let's chat a little bit about how to use Virgo energy this Virgo season. As always, you definitely want to look to where Virgo is in your chart. So what house is it ruling? Because the sun will be bringing illumination to that area or like those topics of your chart during Virgo season. And then it may also be worthwhile to look to where your Mercury is, because its placement can kind of help to further define the Virgo house purpose, direction, or quality. So if you've needed to get like some editing, some pruning, some organizing done, like specifically in the area of your Virgo chart, but also really anywhere that you feel it's necessary,
yeah.
It could be a project, an area of your home, anything like that. Like this is the sign that makes take what works and leave the rest into something that's actually tangible. Also a great time for cleaning, clearing, cleansing. Could be your tarot decks, could be your altars, or something more mundane, your closets and your workspaces. It could even be relationships, friendships. For example, yeah. Virgo rules my 11th house, which is the house of friendships. And although this has never really come up for me before, I could definitely see it as a time of like, what's working in my friendships, or what groups am I associated with that are maybe no longer the right fit for me? Stuff like that.
Yeah.
Your Virgo, I believe, is your fourth house. So that's kind of home, family, your land. So that might actually translate into stuff that you're doing with homesteading. I mean,
yeah. Like that's
certain harvesting that you're doing. Yeah.
Getting the house. I do every fall. I just like getting the house all spruced up and decorated with all the fall things. And yeah, makes sense. It fits.
It's also a good time for sort of health and wellness activities, I guess you could call it. Like just getting into better routines with that kind of stuff. Scheduling the doctor's appointments if you need to, you know, eating cleaner, maybe exercising more. Virgo is definitely really in touch with the physical body in that way and in terms of healing. Right. And it does rule over the digestive system. So there's that connection. But just the fact that Virgo loves a routine and is kind of good at sticking to that kind of thing, it's a great time yeah. to embark on something like that. And I think you'll have a okay. better time at like actually sticking to it.
I feel like that kind of it's a great time to like cook your meals from scratch from home, like go to farmers yeah. markets, get fresh stuff and like really feel your food. And
yeah.
Yeah.
Agreed. Yeah, for sure.
I'm in.
And then anything that you do that are grounding practices, and if you don't do any of those things, it might be a great time to start. Again, this is an earth sign. So even if it's just getting outside more, or like if you've never taken a walk on grass in bare feet, give it a try. Like that's a
You're
really
missing
great,
out.
Simple. Yeah, I would agree. I know some people don't like it. They don't like the feeling of it on their feet, but it's a really easy, simple grounding practice. And every time, I mean, I do it every day in the backyard and it just feels great. And obviously I'm super grateful to have that space, but
yeah.
if you can find it, give it a shot during Virgo season. It's also a great time for goal and intention setting and sort of your resolutions. Like, you know, everyone wants to do it in January, but I mean, you can do these things any time of year, but
yeah.
Virgo season is a great time to take advantage of that energy.
Yeah.
You'll definitely want to watch out for some critical attitudes, whether it's towards yourself or towards others. You know, I've said it a million times. There's like a bit of perfectionism. There's that easy ability to see the flaws with Virgo energy. So watch where you're directing that energy. Use it to your advantage, not to your detriment, right? And I also wrote down, like, just do the thing. Virgo is not a cardinal sign, which is usually when we talk about taking the leap into something and just going for it because you've got that mm-hmm. cardinal energy. But Virgo just really thrives on getting shit done and trying and mastering new things because it is that mutable sign. It is that mutable energy. So even if you fail, you know, you just kind of got to go for it. Give it a shot. Yeah. I think it will, just because it's that new experience. You can really feed that part of the energy that's sort of happening in the cosmos. It may be also a great time for buying new tech and learning to use new tech just because of the association with Mercury. And we're not going to have any retrogrades during Virgo season this year. It's happening in Libra season. Or I should say it's happening while Mercury is in Libra. So we're cut like while Mercury... I should double check those dates and I will put it in the post. But regardless, Virgo season, it's got that connection with Mercury. I think it's a great time specifically for learning something new because of that ability of Virgo to like break down the components, see the details, right, understand things a little bit easier.
Well, would this also then be a good time to kind of negotiate a new price for your phone plan and get a new phone with all the features? Like, is this a good time to go shopping for that kind of thing because of the Virgo?
Interesting. Well, I think it would be a good time to take a look at your phone plan, your internet plan, your subscriptions, your streaming services, and get rid of what's not working and figure out,
right,
you know, and then maybe it is like, why isn't this working? It's the price. Let me see what I can do about that. Like,
okay,
yeah, write all that down on a to-do list. And yeah, that could be a really great time to look at the more technical side of where you're spending your money. That, again, that connection with the earth sign and, yeah, pare it down, figure out what's not working and make it better, improve the structure of what you're working
with.
Yeah,
well, I was kind of thinking more like the contracts, because you're not going to miss anything. Like, you're going to read it over and you're not going to miss a damn thing.
I mean, absolutely. And for sure, get that done before Mercury enters the shadow coming up later this year. So again, I will double check on those dates and I'll put it in the post for this podcast of when we're getting our next our third and final retrograde of the year from Mercury. But you definitely want to do contractual stuff before then. I mean, if you have to, you have to. Like, if it's life or death, you have to live your life. But
just read it over four times instead of skimming it.
I was just going to say, Jackanovia's point about not missing anything in the contract is an excellent point. I think that's usually where things go wrong, is that we're rushing through it or we just didn't read it properly or whatever. And Mercury retrograde can just exacerbate all of that.
Yes.
And then actually, finally, my final point here was budgeting and finances. So getting the books or getting your bank account in order. So
there you go.
Great point.
I should just read ahead and then I don't have to ask questions because you're
already answered
them. No, that's
fine. I mean, it fit in there. And I mean, looking at stuff like your phone plan isn't necessary. I mean, it kind of fits in with the budgeting and the finances. But yeah, I think that's a great idea. I mean, literally anywhere in your life where you're like, okay, I need to refine this structure that I've built. I need to improve it and make it work better for me moving forward.
Yeah.
And again, like as we just saw, phone plan, streaming services, it could be with anything. So
anything.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
So that's Virgo season.
I just love how I didn't realize that Virgo season, I do a lot of this stuff already and I didn't realize that it's just, that's why.
Right? I always find that so interesting when we come upon these and then I'm like, oh yeah, I kind of already do a little bit of that. Like,
Yeah. Well, because like for me, Virgo season is like back to school. So everything is reorganized. Everything's getting ready for the school. We're buying all the school supplies. We're, you know, getting our routines.
Yes. And as I was doing these notes, I was thinking about back to school and I was like, well, that wasn't a part of like the Hellenistic tradition. Like, I don't think there was a back to school happening all those, you know, hundreds of years ago. But did that just sort of fit? Like, is that like, did that come about because it just sort of felt right in the energy? Like, even if nobody kind of planned, they weren't like, okay, sun in Virgo, back to school. But it's just like, that was the natural feeling.
But that kind of goes back to like the harvest season, because that's why schools work the way the school year works the way it does, is because kids needed to be home in the summertime to help with the harvests and everything else. So that's why school started when it did, is because that's when the harvest was done, so they didn't need the help anymore.
Right.
So
it really does connect, whether or not it's like a conscious decision, you know, but yeah.
Because the stars are in control, and that's that.
Love it. Well, I'm done, and I'm ready to learn about Hazel.
All right. Okay, so Hazel, in the Ogham alphabet, it's Kul. Where I live, they're called beaked hazelnut trees, okay? It's just the certain type that grow here. They grow more like bushes, so they're just like shrubs. I have an issue with them every year because they always screw me over. So you know like avocados, you buy them and they're so underripe and you can't eat them, and then there's like 5 minutes. It's all you get is 5 minutes, and then they're done.
Yeah.
Same thing.
No good. Really, 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 really good. No good.
You miss me. Exactly. Well, and like that's the thing. Like, I'll either pick them too early and then of course they're not done, so they're no good. Or, like, I wait, like, a day too late, and then the squirrels have taken them all. They're gone.
Aww.
So I have this, I love hazelnuts. They don't love me back. So
Aww. That's
the energy I work with hazelnuts. And I wanted to share that story. But they're beautiful anyway. So the approximate dates for the hazelnuts, approximate date for hazel season is August 5th to September 1st. So it actually covers most of August. So for the entire month of August, almost, we're just in hazel season. Okay, let's see here. It's the ninth month in the tree calendar. From the Handbook of Celtic Astrology, it is 12 degrees Leo and 8 degrees 59 minutes in Virgo.
Hmm.
And that book is by Helena Patterson. So the polarity of hazel is feminine and receptive, but it's also like this active and creative force. So to me, this is an example of the fluidity of traditional masculine and feminine energies. Like anyone and everything can be any combination of one or the other or both or neither. Nature just does not exist in true duality. It's all different mixtures of each. And I really like that energy that hazel brings to the table because it just seems more inclusive.
Yeah.
That's my favorite part about it. The element is air and the ruling planet is Mercury.
Ooh.
So it's a little different, but still similar in some ways that we'll get into. And I think you'll probably giggle when you see it. The deities that are associated are Green Man, Hermes, Artemis, Diana, Brigid, Thor, Gaia, Mother Nature, and Isis. And yes, Thor's been following us around quite a bit. I don't know if everybody else has noticed that.
Thor was just on the Holly episode, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Cool.
So, you know what? Thor's a cool guy. We'll let him.
Well, he likes to hang out in summer and have a good time. He likes to party.
Yeah. He's beer, right? Got a beer.
Yeah.
So let's move on to the symbology because I'm so excited about this part. So I'll run through these ones really quick. In North mythology, hazel is known as the tree of knowledge and wisdom. Some stories say that that's the tree that I can't pronounce the name of the actual tree, but that Odin hung himself upside down from the hazel for 9 days. And that's how he gained this divine wisdom and, you know, the second sight. And he sacrificed one of his eyes. Like, that's the whole story. But other stories say it's the ash. So kind of do with
maybe
that what
you will.
Maybe it
was both. Whatever.
Could have been both.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a magical tree. Maybe it was both. Hazel asks us to appreciate divine timing and because things take things one step at a time. Some hazels take up to 9 years to produce their first crop of hazelnuts. Mm. So it's like you can't rush it. Don't skip steps. Just take it one step at a time and just trust the process.
So I'm inclined to believe that that was the tree then because it's 9 days that Odin hung there, right? And then 9 years for the first fruit. So I don't know.
Yeah. See, that's why I mentioned it because in my opinion, that's the tree that he hung his. I hate using that word because he didn't like hang himself. He hung there upside down from the ankle for 9 days.
He'd pulled a hanged one. He was doing the hanged one card.
That's exactly it.
Yeah.
Yeah. 9 years to produce. That's, wow. That's a long time to wait for hazelnuts.
Yeah. They are pretty good though.
That's why I'm so mad when the squirrels get them before I do.
Yeah.
Because they don't share. Squirrels are
little
rude.
Buggers.
They go and hide them and then they forget where they left them. It's like, make up your mind. Make up your mind. Whatever. Whatever, squirrels. Hazel is associated with sacred wells and springs that feed into rivers. There's in a lot of Celtic mythology, there's like the salmon of wisdom, right? And the reason the salmon is so wise and has all this knowledge is because it eats hazelnuts, which is sharing the wisdom of the underworld, which we're going to get to later on. So there's also a story with Finn McCool. I don't know if everybody's heard of Finn McCool. Mm-mm. It's like a pretty big deal in Celtic mythology.
Okay.
You can just Google it. It's a pretty long story. Well, there's a lot of stories about Finn McCool. But apparently the reason he got so smart is because he was actually preparing a salmon for someone else to eat. And a drop of the oil got on his thumb. And of course he went and they put his thumb in his mouth. And then he ended up being like this wise person and had all these adventures. And it's a lot of really cool stories. So look it up if you're interested in stories.
Okay. It's like he had the first omega fatty acid or something.
Pretty much, yeah. Pretty much. And then, I mean, there's a lot of other ones too, because then there's stories in some traditions, like in Welsh and I think in some Scottish, with the Ceridwen. It's a very similar story with Taliesin. He ended up, you know, Ceridwen's got her big cauldron and she's got all this knowledge and wisdom in her cauldron. And he burns his thumb, licks it, and gets all this knowledge. So it's all these different stories intermingling.
Interesting.
And,
yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. It's
good times.
Pretty Finn McCool.
Yes.
I will see myself out.
No, you will not. That was beautiful. That was beautiful. I'm proud of you for that.
Thank you.
So hazels are used for divination and visioning and for dowsing. So when you're dowsing, as in, if you're not familiar with that, it's when you take like a stick and you kind of split the top part of it up so it's a Y, and then you can find water underground, or you can, some people use that for a form of divination.
Wow.
My uncle can do that. He can find an underground spring like that with a hazel.
Whoa.
And
that's,
it's so
cool.
He basically just walks around with it in front of him. And then when he hits water underground, like when it's there, pardon me, the nose of it just like dips down and points to the ground.
Whoa, that's amazing.
It blew my mind. I saw it when I was a kid and I thought it was just him moving them, and nope.
I don't know. I wonder if there's any videos of that on YouTube or something. We should find them.
Oh, yeah. There's tons. It's an age-old thing. Like, you can hire people to this day to do that for you.
So freaking cool. We should definitely link some videos.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll see if I can find some. Well, okay. I know I'll find some, and then I'll send
them. I want to see them anyway, so.
Yeah, it's super cool.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, some people, too, they have dowsing rods that are just metal, and they kind of just sit loose in your hand. I don't know if you've seen those on, like, paranormal shows and stuff.
I don't think so.
Oh, okay, because when you go into, like, an energy field, like, they'll move and kind of twist, or they'll cross.
Oh, cool.
Really cool. So that's something, if it's a, you know, a skill you want to pick up, you can try that through hazel season. Where are we? Oh, hazel is very muse energy, so it helps get that creative flow going. So poetry and painting and drawing, writing and storytelling, music making, it's all about the arts. So it's really that creative, you know, digging down and taking it from within and bringing it out and turning it into something tangible. So kind of fits with Virgo because it's creating, but this is more of like the creative flow of it rather than like the creating routines and programs.
Yes.
Yeah.
But the having the tangible result is still, I feel, a great connection. Yeah.
Yeah. That earthy kind of, bringing it to the earth.
Yeah, like we're not just doing it. Sometimes we're doing stuff just for the feeling, just for the sake of doing it. But I think in this energy we're looking for, even if it's a tiny thing, it's like, look what we did, you know? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, look at it. I made an origami bird. Origami bird. I pronounced that terribly. I apologize. Oh, here it is. Because when you said something very similar earlier, I was like, oh, got it. So hazel is like that same energy as when you're standing at the side of a lake and that cooler wind is blowing inland from the water on a hot day. It helps to balance your emotions and temper, kind of gives you that refreshing, cooling down feeling, but it still will deliver a blast of whatever hell needs to happen. Like, they're gentle and quiet and reserved, but don't cross them.
Yes.
So that's the kind of energy that comes with hazel.
So kind of like the cooling down from Leo season.
Yeah. Just when you mentioned that, I was like, oh.
Yeah.
Same. Okay, so remember way back in oak season? That feels like so long ago now. But way back in oak season, we were talking about how the oak was a gateway to the other world.
Yes.
Right? Well, hazel is believed to be the tree that stands in the middle of the other world. So you have to basically travel through the oak. You have to cross out of your comfort zone. You have to go to places you've never been before and be open to learning. And that's the only way you're going to gain true wisdom and true knowledge. So you need to journey. You need to live and learn. You need to study to know. You need to observe to see. It all starts with taking this step outside of what's familiar.
So cool.
I love hazel. I love it. And it doesn't love me back.
Aw. It doesn't know what it's missing.
Thank you for that. I appreciate it. It's fine. Someday I'll get a hazelnut. So this was actually really cool to me. It's like used to be considered such bad luck, like total bad luck to chop down a hazel tree. Some of the sources I found say that in Scotland and Ireland, like a long, long time ago, it was actually punishable by death if you chopped down a hazel tree because you were going to bring bad shit to everybody around you.
Right.
So I was like, that's intense, but it was okay to coppice it. And what that means is they would take like kind of young growth that was really bendy and they'd make, you know, for weaving baskets and furniture and such.
Okay.
But to cut down the tree was a big no-no.
Right. I mean, listen, I don't think we should kill people for cutting down trees, but we should try to keep as many trees as possible.
I agree. Like, I mean, talk about tree worship, right?
Yes.
So it was actually believed around that same time, if you collected hazelnuts, it would increase your psychic ability and you'd be able to foretell the future. So, you know, if you, especially at Samhain, because of course you're harvesting them during this season, you're harvesting all the hazelnuts. But by Samhain, they were ready to be roasted and eaten and all that. Mm. So at Samhain, they would eat them to help them with their predictions, because that was when they used to do all their, you know, what's coming up for me in the next year kind of thing.
Right.
It was also a preferred wood for staffs and wands for some druids. When they were performing services like meditation, like doing, like acting as a judge or advising, they often held or they kept a hazel with them really close by. And it makes me kind of think of like gavel, like, you know, like a modern judge has the gavel.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the same kind of idea, like this power, what is it, power stick or whatever you'd want to call it. But like they would like knock it on the table if things were getting out of hand to kind of.
Okay.
So I was just like, that's really interesting to me. So neat. I wonder if maybe that was an ancestor of the modern practice of having a gavel in a courtroom.
Maybe they were made out of that back in the day or something. Yeah.
That would be cool. Okay, so a simple protection spell that you can use with hazel is to just get a hazel stick or a twig and just draw a circle. It doesn't have to be outdoors or anything, but just draw like this etherical circle around you. Or you can just hang like a sprig of hazel up near you or keep one in your pocket. Super, super protective. Just don't. You're better off to pick up something that's already dropped or to break off a branch that's already dying or something. Don't take anything that's, don't make it sacrifice itself if it doesn't want to be sacrificed.
Sure.
Is kind of the theme to follow there. It's believed that hazel actually has the ability to supercharge the air around it with inspiration and creative energy. So just sitting under it and like inhaling the air and the energy around a hazel could like help you get over a writer's block or like some kind of creative block, or you know, there's a problem that's really nagging at you and you just can't get clarity and you can't find a solution. Well, go and sit and just breathe in a hazel, and apparently that'll help you solve it.
I love that in connection with the ruling planet also being Mercury, the very mental, communicative planet, like that, like it helping you find that clarity of mind. That makes so much sense.
Yes. Well, and it also brought me back to thinking about how the Virgo, they can kind of see all the things some people think they might be, you know, micromanaging or something, but really they're not. They can just see it from all angles and they just know the best way forward.
Yeah, great point.
Yeah, I thought it's almost like going to sit with a hazel for counsel and asking it for advice. Just feels like that to me and I love it. Burned as an incense or on a fire, it'll enhance your ability to predict the future, which we talked about before, but this is more like in a bonfire, and then you can scry in the flames, or you can look up at the sky and scry in the stars or with the clouds or whatever. So that would be something fun if, you know, it's something that you're able to do where you live. Using hazel to help you focus at work, it can help you learn a new skill really like fast and efficiently, and it can also help you study for a test. So if you're a student or if you have to write a test or something for work, grab some hazel. And it's very transformative. So if there's something you're not satisfied with in your life going on, hazel can help you figure out the right steps to change it. And it'll also, like, to put it nicely, it'll attract signs and reminders that'll keep you on the right track. But basically, it's going to kick you in the ass until you do what you need to do, because it doesn't take shit.
Yeah.
If you say you're going to do it, hazel expects you to do it.
More energy of like figuring out what's not working and getting rid of it.
Exactly. Very Virgo, right? It's they're not assholes. They're just saying this, you want it to fix, this is how you fix it.
Yeah. It's bottom sort line. Of like a matter of fact energy. Like there's no, it's not that it's like void of emotion. It's just like, it's not personal.
Yeah, exactly. Its emotion is it wants you to succeed.
Yes.
It doesn't care what you have to do.
And
to
getting
get
rid of what you don't need is going to help you succeed. Yeah.
Exactly.
That's a great way to put it. I like that.
Well, because it's a nut tree and hazelnuts and stuff, it symbolizes fertility. So it's planning for the future and kind of that raw potential. So think a hazelnut in its shell, think of like a child in the womb. That's that same energy. So you can use hazelnuts, like you can do this with any seed really, but you can plant it in the ground if you're trying to manifest something or, you know, create stability or whatever your intention is. You can bury that seed in the ground. Hopefully it'll grow. But at least it's the act of actually doing it. It doesn't matter if it grows or not. Just because it doesn't grow, this is a little disclaimer. If you do the seed thing and the seed doesn't sprout, it doesn't mean your manifestation isn't going to work.
Right. Yeah.
It's the act of doing it that's actually starting it off.
Yes. That's all. That's sort of the symbolic part of it. Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, so we could go to the store and pick up some hazelnuts. And
yeah,
I mean, how likely is it that something will grow? Like, I don't know that we want to grow a bunch of hazelnut trees. Like,
it depends on where you buy it from. See, most things you buy in stores, even the organic ones, I'm sorry for everybody who's hooked on organics, but even the organic ones have actually been sprayed with some kind of inhibitor, or they've been bred and hybridized so that they are not fertile.
Gotcha.
So.
Okay. But I mean, that's maybe better for that kind of spell work, though, because if you want to, if you have space in your backyard and you want to do it a bunch of times, you don't also want like 12 to 15 hazel trees growing.
Exactly. Because like, in 9 years, you're going to have a lot of hazelnuts.
Oof. Oh boy. And you might not have a home because the hazel trees have taken over. Like,
or the squirrels.
Yes. Yeah. So maybe, yeah, maybe better for that reason. But I also sort of envision you just being able to do it with like a tiny little pot of soil if you're living in a small space. Like,
of course you can.
Yeah, very accessible, very easy thing to do during hazel season then.
Yeah, I would highly recommend. You can also too, I didn't even write this one down and I should have, you can plant one, or sorry, bury one, set one, whatever your situation is, at every corner of your home and it'll offer protection.
Yes, well. I love that. Cool.
Yeah, because I mean, not everybody can get like a big hazel branch. So just use the hazelnuts. Okay, so moving on to the Divination Association. So with runes, and I found this, I don't know, I found this really interesting. I can't find a rune associated with hazel in everything I looked through. I mean, I didn't think there was, but I double checked it to make sure. But hazel is actually one of the most popular woods that runes are made of. That's now and in the past.
Oh, cool.
So it's like, I don't know. I don't know if it's like you'd say all runes are associated with hazel.
Right.
But because it's the wisdom, right? Especially with the Norse and, you know, the Vikings and stuff like that, they would use a lot of hazel in their divination.
Think you could say, like, in general, runes are associated with hazel. Yeah. That's really cool.
Yeah. So I thought that was fun. As for tarot cards, we've got the Empress, of course, fertility, the creative energy. And I was trying to pick one of the queens and I really couldn't because I could see how all of the queens would fit in because you've got that cooling energy of the Queen of Swords. You've got that really grounding in and creative energy of the Pentacles. You've got that like heartfelt, like you got to put your passion behind it with the Cups. And then that action, like you need to put in the action that goes behind it to manifest anything. So with the Queen of Wands. So I'm just like, it's all of the queens in one.
Yeah.
And then the Two of Wands. So that's like a lot of that visioning and the, and waiting for the right timing and planning things out. Your Hermit, so that's your journeying and your seeking and going to find your hazel tree in the middle of the other world.
And your Virgo card, it's perfect.
Oh, yeah. We've got the Nine of Wands, and I picked that one solely because it looks like the dude is set up like this bunch of hazel branches as protection ring around him because he's like battered and bruised and he's, you know, nervous and he wants to be safe. So that's why I picked that one. And then the Eight of Pentacles meeting the Eight of Wands together. So like that swift movement and inspiration and action, but grounded into something very practical that's going to last a long time.
And another Virgo card. Perfect.
Yep. I saw it up at the top and I was like, hey, me too.
Yeah. I love that you brought up that the circle of protection thing with the Nine of Wands. I think we also talked about this looking at it that way in our actual wands episode. But
oh, did we?
I think so, because I think it was the first time that I had ever seen it or read about it in that way as being protection, not as being like a, well, let me put it this way, as like not being like a defensive or like a hiding thing, but more of like a healing protection type of way. So yeah. I like it. I think it fits so nicely with all of the energies that we've come to talk about. And it's a nice reminder to see that you can look at that card and I'm sure more than just those two ways, but you know.
Yeah. Just a couple of extra ways, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's all I have about the hazel for now. I tried to limit it because there's a lot of mythology about it. And I was like, I can't just tell stories all night.
If there's anything you can link that has these stories, we should definitely include that. But yeah.
There are so many awesome storytellers on YouTube. I mean, oh my God. Like there's so many people on YouTube telling all these traditional stories and doing it so well. We should definitely toss some links in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amazing. Wow. I cannot believe. So that means we are We're halfway through our trip through the Zodiac and the Celtic tree. Yeah. I mean, we're like, we've got one extra of the Celtic tree, but we're kind of going to sort that out on our next episode.
Put
we're going to
those in the same one.
Yeah. We're going to double up on our Libra episode. So we're going to be doing Libra and also Vine and Ivy. Yeah, so because there's 13 Celtic tree signs, 12 sort of Western zodiac signs, we were going to have to double up eventually. So we're going to do it on the Libra episode that, has the scales and the balance keeping and the two sides of things. And yeah.
Well, yeah, because the tree signs go by the lunar months. They don't go by a calendar month. So that's why there's 13 of them.
Yeah. Okay. So that's it for Virgo and Hazel. That was a super fun trip as always. We hope you guys are enjoying your Leo season and now you're going to enjoy your Virgo season and we'll see you on the next bonus episode.
Yeah. Go organize your closets and we'll see you soon.
Yeah. Happy Virgo season.
Oh, and happy Hazel season.
Thank you so much for listening to this bonus episode of the Tarot Coven cast. Stay tuned for our next bonus episode where we'll be exploring the zodiac sign Libra and the Celtic tree signs Vine and Ivy. And until then, everyone, keep making magic.